Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, June 17th. I'm Abby Larico. Parents in Missouri whose children lived near radioactive waste sites and died from cancer can't apply for radiation exposure compensation from the government, but they're hoping that'll change.
Because I don't think it's right for us parents when you don't have your daughter here anymore, or your son, or they're still sick and you still can't do nothing about it.
St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley has more from concerned parents coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis County officials say they're getting ready to roll out an emergency medical plan for the jail. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, a bill that pays for nurses, medical staff, and medicine for detainees was put on hold yesterday.
The $2.8 million in funding was delayed Tuesday so that the public health director and council department liaison could set up a meeting. Funding runs out June 30th. Tim Ware is the new acting jail director. He says without the funding, it could lead to police having to drive incarcerated people to medical screenings, among other problems.
Failure to pass this legislation will result in several problems. Impact on medical staff morale, not knowing if their funding is going to be there in the future. Treatment restrictions, certain medical procedures and meds not being able to get be given.
Chairwoman Rita Hurd-Days says they are following the budget process and that she hasn't heard opposition from other council members. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway is asking the Environmental Protection Agency to classify a commonly used abortion pill as an environmental contaminant. The move is the state's latest attempt to curb access to mifepristone. A letter recently signed by Hanaway and 13 other attorneys general argues that increased use of the medication in at-home abortions could affect drinking water. Kelly Dennings with the nonprofit Center for Biological Diversity says there's no evidence of harmful levels of mifepristone in drinking water.
We really need to be focused on the herbicides, the pesticides, the industrial runoff, and the PFAS. And other forever chemicals.
Hanaway was not available for an interview. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources says it is not investigating the drug's presence in wastewater or its effects. Missouri officials are trying to bring attention to the abuse of seniors and adults with disabilities. Last year, the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services received and investigated more than 43,000 cases of elder abuse. That's nearly 1,300 more than the previous count. Tim Jackson oversees Adult Protective Services for the state and says the increase in reports is a double-edged sword.
Obviously, we want more awareness of abuse, neglect, and exploitation. So we would like to see those numbers go up because we know that it is an unreported problem. At the same time, we're somewhat thinly staffed.
Jackson says to be on the lookout for bruises, changes in behavior, withdrawal from normal activity, and financial issues among adults. He encourages everyone to call the Adult Abuse and Neglect Hotline if concerned. This week, Missouri's elections officials are mailing ballots to military and overseas voters using a new congressional map. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, there's a lot of uncertainty about which lines will be in place this November.
The Missouri Supreme Court ruled last month that the submission of referendum signatures did not automatically suspend a congressional map passed in 2025. But given that the court also said that the 2025 map will be retroactively suspended if the referendum makes the November ballot, Miller County Clerk Clinton Jenkins says elections officials are envisioning a number of scenarios, including having another congressional primary.
The way I look at it is like we're basically on a road trip and we don't have a map to where we're going.
Secretary of State Denny Hoskins is not expected to make a decision on the redistricting referendum until early August. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois' latest budget was signed into law yesterday by Governor J.B. Pritzker. It's the state's largest spending plan in history. Pritzker says the nearly $56 billion package will increase affordability and financial stability statewide.
This budget lowers costs for everyday Illinoisans. It protects our state's fiscal health, and it continues the economic progress we have worked so hard to build over the last 7.5 years.
The state budget includes everything from emergency payments for Illinoisans kicked off SNAP food benefits to new taxes on social media companies. The Illinois State House passed the budget along partisan lines, with state Republicans saying they're opposed to its size and various tax increases. The spending plan is Illinois' 8th consecutive balanced budget. Balkan Treat Box has been a St. Louis favorite for nearly a decade. On Monday, its owner and chef won a James Beard Award. As St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the win is bringing new and returning customers to the restaurant.
Lauren Knowledge's win for Best Chef in the Midwest marks the first time in almost 10 years a St. Louis chef has won a James Beard Award. Zoran Strebuch said he's been at Balkan Treat Box between 50 and 100 times. He says the James Beard Award is a huge deal for St. Louis.
The culinary scene here is awesome. I have friends that aren't from St. Louis, and I always tell them when they visit that it's super underrated here. There's so many little mini pockets and neighborhoods where you can get cuisine from anywhere.
Knowledge is also the owner and chef of Telva at the Ridge. Both restaurants are in Webster Groves. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
Last summer was the first time Missourians exposed to radioactive waste could apply for compensation under a federal program. But parents whose children died after living near the waste don't get to see that money. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley spoke with two moms who lost their daughters to cancer and are hoping for a change.
I'm visiting Cindy Whitman at her home in Maryland Heights. She lost her 25-year-old daughter, Victoria Dawn, to leukemia 6 years ago after more than a decade battling the disease.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you, Cindy?
I am good.
Colorful pictures of Victoria cover the living room walls.
She loved orcas, dolphins, sunflowers. Her nieces made all these pictures and I put them up, so...
Whitman says Victoria was diagnosed with two forms of leukemia. She also developed a mysterious fungus on her lungs that puzzled doctors, requiring a partial lung removal and a bone marrow transplant.
She did it with a smile. You would never have known all the stuff she has been through.
Whitman and her family lived near the Westlake landfill in Bridgeton for about 5 years. That's where the U.S. government illegally dumped toxic waste from the Manhattan Project, a top-secret government program to develop the world's first atomic bombs before Nazi Germany during World War II. Toxic waste from the Manhattan Project also made its way into Coldwater Creek, exposing generations of children and families who played in the creek. Like Whitman, Kirby Pemberton also lost her 12-year-old daughter, Kirsty, to a cancerous brain tumor in 2004 after living in Bridgeton.
That's out of a book she wrote for the doctor's office.
Their daughters were friends and often played in the dirt at the ballpark across the street from the landfill.
The sad, sick thing about it is her tumor is one of the 27 confirmed from ionizing radiation. And is typically found in 60-year-old men.
Hundreds of Missourians who lived near the Westlake landfill and Coldwater Creek have applied for payouts through the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA. Under the law, the spouses and children of people who died from illnesses can receive up to $25,000. But parents can't apply on behalf of their deceased children, according to the Department of Justice. When asked why, a department spokesperson didn't give a clear answer and said it's carrying out the law set by Congress. Pemberton says she wants to know why her daughter wasn't eligible.
I think she's worth a lot more than $25,000.
Last year was the first time Missourians could apply for the RECA funding, and getting there was no small feat. It followed more than a decade of campaigning and working with legislators to recognize Missouri as one of several states impacted by the Manhattan Project. Karen Nichols is the co-founder of Just Moms STL and among those leading the efforts.
originally this fight started for our own kids and trying to protect our kids, and to find out that a lot of our friends that had lost their children due to this exposure weren't going to be covered in under RECA, it was a blow to us.
The law also doesn't cover kids who have leukemia, like in Victoria's case. Dr. Laura Schupelt is a pediatric oncologist at St. Louis Children's Hospital. She says leukemia is the most common form of cancer in children, and there's no single cause.
Genetics, bad luck, and probably a compilation of other minor contributions from environmental factors that we don't understand yet.
Missourians can apply for RECA compensation through December of next year. In the meantime, the fight to expand the law continues. Whitman says for her, it's not about the money, it's about justice.
Because I don't think it's right for us parents when you don't have your daughter here anymore. Or your son. Or they're still sick and you still can't do nothing about it.
I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rebecca Thiel edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.